Welcome to the By His Grace podcast. I'm your host, Misty Phillip, and I am a girl saved by the grace of God. I'm on a journey to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. We live in amazing but challenging times. We all have things we struggle with, but sometimes we can feel desperately alone in our journey. I'm here to give you hope and to say you are not alone. The goal of this podcast is to share stories of everyday, ordinary people like you and me that have faced all kinds of adversity and how the grace of God has seen them through their darkest days. Because where there are deep wounds, there is deep grace. Hi, friends. Welcome back to the By His Grace podcast. I'm your host, Misty Phillip. This is a podcast for anyone struggling to make sense of life's difficulties. Anyone who needs to know that they are not alone in their trials. Today's guest, Gina McGowan, talks about battling chronic illness. We talk about surrendering to God's plan for our lives and that there is power in weakness. Through laughter and wise insight, Gina candidly shares her journey of Hashimoto's thyroiditis. Okay, I am here with Gina McGowan. Hi, Gina. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
Thank you. So glad to have you here on the By His Grace podcast. And today we're going to talk about a struggle with chronic illness.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you tell me about that?
So a few years ago, well, I guess now it's been more than a few, about 10 years ago, I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is an autoimmune disease where my body recognizes my thyroid as a foreign invader and is actively trying to kill it every single day. And it's a disease that is increasing in its spread, I guess. However, there's no new treatments for it. In fact, there's really no treatments for it specifically. We're treated just like we have hypothyroidism,
right?
Even though it's not. So we haven't seen anything new since like 1976. And there's about 300 potential symptoms that you could have, and no two of us are alike, which makes it really hard to treat because you can't narrow those fields down. So that's my daily struggle. The symptoms that I deal with in particular range from everything from just fatigue and brain fog and not being able to think, hair falling out. That's a fun one. Sometimes my skin to the touch is painful. So like if I had an itch and I tried to scratch it, it might as well be taking a serrated knife to it. Body aches and joint aches, and my cycle was all over the place, and my libido was out the window, and weight gain that I can't do anything about, and swelling, and just all these crazy, crazy things that hit you. And so it's been kind of a road
for me. Sounds like it.
Especially coming from somebody who's always been a very highly active person, always involved in a lot of things. It was like somebody pulled the rug out from underneath me.
Yeah.
It happened. Yeah, I was diagnosed after my third child was born. And really what it was is I just noticed I wasn't recovering from that pregnancy like I had my previous ones. And that was kind of what led to the diagnosis.
Right. So how has God shown you grace with that struggle?
You know what? That was a little bit humbling.
He's good at that.
Yeah, he is. One of my pastor's wives refers to me as high capacity. I've always been a high capacity person. If you need something done, I can get it done. If you need it done quick, I can get it done quick, or I'll find somebody who can get it done quickly. A lot of gifts, talents, skills, and things that I can put into play. And so my, you know, early ministry serving was really all on my own strength, you know, of what I could do and how can I help and pitch in. And I was doing very godly things, but I was doing them in my own strength and my own power, my own understanding of how things should be done. And so when all of your energy is taken away from you, and your body physically hurts, and you literally have days you're so tired you cannot get out of bed no matter how much sleep you've gotten, suddenly you have no strength and you have no understanding because your brain's not working right. And it was very frustrating for me, but it was also very humbling because I couldn't do everything that I had done in the past. And my high capacity was becoming very quickly low capacity. I was the girl who's like, I would make plans and then pray all morning that you would cancel them. That was me. And that had never been me before. So it was just messing up everything. But at that point, it really went from being humbled first to God's grace coming after that, because you know what? I believe that God is still in the business of miracles. I still believe in miracle healings. I know people that have been miraculously healed. And so I did take it to God and I was like, God, take this from me, because I want to still do everything that I did. I want to be a good mom. I want to be a good wife. I want to be a good ministry worker. I want my old life back, yeah. You know? And this isn't okay for me. And there were times that it took me into a dark depression. I mean, sitting in my doctor's office crying. And so I would just beg, Lord, take this from me. But he wouldn't take it. And then I started, well, maybe like I can negotiate like a partial healing, you know, like give me some of this back. And because, you know, then you start negotiating in there, because if you give me some of this back, well, I can do this for you and I can do more of this ministry and I can do that. And, you know, the next thing you know, you're like somebody from biblical times who is just like, Lord, heal me and I'll dedicate all my days to you forever, you know, because you're just at that point so desperate for it.
Yes.
And so I prayed a lot for that healing. And then one day in study, because that's how God, you know, that's how I really, I'm a thinker and studier and researcher. And so my nose is always in a book and I'm always reading scripture and I'm always doing a study or something or other. And that's where God speaks to me. I came across 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. And Paul says, therefore, so that I would not become arrogant, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to trouble me so that I would not become arrogant. I asked the Lord 3 times about this, that it would depart from me. But he said to me, my grace is enough for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So then I will boast most gladly about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may reside in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, with insults, with troubles, with persecutions and difficulties for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong.
Yes.
And I was like, all right, you know what? For whatever reason, in his infinite wisdom and in his understanding, he's choosing not to heal me of this. And I need to now, for whatever it is that he's called me to do, I need to lean completely into his strength. Yes. It can no longer be about me and what I can do and the gifts and skills and talents and education and all those things that I have. It had to be all about God and only doing what he's asked me to do, learning to rest and not being on the go all the time and taking care of my body. And then saying that, you know what, if you're asking me to do this, Lord, I'm going to trust that you're going to give me the strength and the ability to do it for your glory and not for my own.
Yes.
Humbling and grace all at the same time.
Yes. That's awesome. So how else has God shown you grace in this process?
So the first thing was in a way that I can only explain as, but God, a new doctor fell into my lap. I had never heard of her. I knew nothing about her. She's an integrative doctor, which is like slightly functional, slightly tip, you know, Western medicine kind of deal. And I thought, you know what? What I've been doing isn't working for me. I'm going to go see a new doctor. I'm going to get a second opinion. Maybe there's other things wrong with me. Let's take a look at the whole picture.
Right.
And that was such a blessing. And that there was so much grace in that, because she was just like a balm to the soul, because she listened and she understood and she didn't downplay anything that I said. And she didn't try to put blame on me. She was like, okay, your body's out of control. We need to get that in order. And so it was able to help me really start to take control of my health in a more positive way. But through that, the Lord put callings on my heart and things that I was supposed to do. And I was so conflicted on that, because I'm like, I don't have the energy, but you're putting these things on my heart to do. And it literally put that to the test of putting my faith in him that I could do it. And so in the midst of all this storm and all this whatever, the Lord sent me to seminary. Wow. And I went full time. So I was taking 4 classes every semester until I finished my degree in divinity. And I look back on that time and I'm like, there is no explanation but God and his grace that, okay, now I'm calling you into something, but I'm going to prepare you for what it is that I'm calling you. And I'm going to give you everything that you need for that.
Yes.
Sometimes I felt like he gave me just what I needed for that and nothing extra. Mm-hmm. But it was enough to get me through that. And, you know, the grace was there with my family, because my husband and my kids were so supportive of me during time. To give me the time to study and all the things that I needed. And then through that, he's like, okay, so what I want you to do is I want you to take all your years of ministry experience and I want you to pour into other leaders. And so the ministry that I had been leading in, which was just, you know, my church's women's ministry, the Lord took that. And I was really confused at first because I'm like, Lord, I know that you called me to, you know, pour into women. And why would you take women's ministry from me? That's my heart, my passion, my everything. And instead he said, because I want you to pour this into the leaders of the women's ministries.
Wow, that's
and
good.
So we began 5 years ago. So that's why I said I've been in this for a while. I really have. So 5 years ago, we started the Women's Ministry Council, and we put down all the denominational walls, and we invite all the women's ministry leaders from in our community, all the different churches, to come and meet. And quarterly, we just give them training, and it's about how to lead their ministries more effectively, from the practical stuff like writing a budget. Nobody ever teaches you how to do that when you raise your hand to be a women's ministry leader, right? To the more spiritual side of things, like, why do our women need to be grounded in prayer? Why do they need to be studying the word? Why do we need to have worship as part of our events? Like, we covered the gamut of it, and it's grown with myself, and now we have a couple other women who serve alongside with me in the leadership side of it. So we have 20 to 50 years of women's ministry leadership, and we have this new generation of leaders in front of us, and we are just pouring into them.
That's amazing.
And, you know, I look at that and I'm like, that's the grace of God right there for me. Yes. Because I know what my gifting, like my spiritual gifts are.
Right.
Right. And I'm like, why would you take me out of leading if that's one of my spiritual gifts? And he's like, 'cause I've got something bigger and better for you to work on. And so now, as I do all of that stuff, it comes back to nothing but God. I could not do this in my own strength. When people come to me now and they're like, oh, you know, how do you get all this stuff done? Instead of saying, oh, well, I'm really organized and my spiritual gift is administration and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, God, it is totally 100% God, because if it was up to my flesh,
amen, sister.
Yeah. If it was up to my flesh, I would be in bed, sound asleep, eating maybe some ice cream and sulking in my sadness, you know. But he's given me this new energy and this new, like invigorated me. And whenever I'm working in what he's called me to, I always have enough to do it.
Yeah.
I may come home and crash, you know, after that, but I always have enough to do it, and do it for what he wants it to be and not what I want it to be. And I've been able to put that aside, and it's really pulled me from just being a leader in the church into becoming a servant leader for the kingdom.
That is fantastic. So I want to kind of tie those two together. What advice would you give to someone who is struggling with a chronic illness, and what advice would you give to them?
The first thing I would say is you need to be an advocate for yourself. Doctors are learned and they go to school and all of that. And I totally do not discount their years of knowledge and experience. But there is something to be said about doing the research yourself. Find books, talk to other people, learn what's worked for other people, and then be willing to not only take that to your doctor and talk to them about, because sometimes they're going to scoff at you. They're going to be like, oh, you WebMD'd that. And, you know, what's that compared to my 8 years, you know, 12 years of, you know, college. But be willing to fire your doctor if you need to. Remember that your doctor works for you.
Right.
They are there to make your body better, to make you healthier, so that you can do what God's called you to do. So you can be there for your kids and your family and your husband and whatever else that you're involved in. So be willing to fire your doctor if you need to.
But from a spiritual standpoint,
cry.
You know, I think that really that's it, because I broke both of my arms in a bicycling accident, and I live in a house full of boys and could not do anything for myself. So talk about God taking it all away. Like, I couldn't even brush my hair, brush my teeth, like nothing. Yeah. I couldn't feed myself. And in that process, really came to the end of myself, because I am a go-getter. I'm a doer. I can, you know, all the things that you were saying. So I can completely relate to that. And God just had to make me sit and not do anything for a year while my arms healed. And it was during that time that my son, who has a very serious chronic illness, I began just crying out to God on his behalf. And he was misdiagnosed with autism as a child, but he actually had autoimmune encephalitis. Mm. And he contracted it as a baby, and we didn't find out until he was 16.
Wow.
But so I agree with everything that you've said. You have to be your own advocate, but God wants to do miracles in our life. It doesn't mean that he will, but we have to, you know, for years, I prayed for my son, years and years and years. And finally, I just said, God, there is nothing that I can do. And for your glory and for your name's sake, I need you to move. And he did. And so I think it's about us just laying our lives down to him, because we think we're in control, but we're not.
Not at all. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Cause I'm such a controlling person. Yeah. Like I'd like the world to run according to Gina, and the Lord just kind of laughs at me, I think, on a regular basis. And like, just hold on and watch what I'm about to do. But I think it did, you know, from a spiritual point, I almost had to let it break me, like get to that point where I was so broken by it. I mean, sitting on my floor in the middle of the trash pile that I just swept up because the house had gotten so out of control, and I just didn't have the energy to do it. And I kept looking around at all the things that still needed to be done, and I just was done. And I sat down in this pile of trash in the middle of my floor, sobbing and just begging the Lord, will you take this from me? Will you take this from me? And I think that's why I found solace in Paul's words in 2 Corinthians, because it was like, Paul, of all people, he's like, I got this thorn in my side. I need you to take this. Three times I've asked you to take this, and you're not taking this from me. But what Paul then did go is the realization of he, God didn't take it because he had a reason for it. He had a purpose for it, right? Well, can I tell you that since I've been diagnosed, since I've had all this stuff that I've worked through, and I would say that I am on the, you know, on a much more positive side, God has positioned me in front of people that I would have never expected to, where they would say, gosh, you know, I just haven't been feeling myself, this, and this. And I'll say, you know what, go get your thyroid checked. Make sure they check for this specific, you know, antibody, because right. I bet you have Hashimoto's. I get a text, you know, a month later, guess what? It's Hashimoto's. Okay, now let's talk. But at the same time, he's positioned people also that have spoken to me and said, you know, look, I read this great book on Hashimoto's because I had it too. And I've gone and gotten it. And there's been excellent advice in there to help me. So God's positioned people in my life for me to help, that are still helping me, that I'm working on that path to healing. And I think that, you know, part of that, what stands out for me is, okay, so I think everybody kind of has their stuff, right? I either have a physical illness, or maybe I have a mental illness, or I have a trauma that I'm trying to overcome.
The struggle is real. We all have struggles.
Yeah. And so I remember being at a conference with Dr. Julie Slattery of Authentic Intimacy. And she was talking about the healing process. And one of the things that she said is that there will be those that God miraculously heals, like they, like he flipped a switch and they went from ill to well, or addicted to not addicted, or whatever. They can forget that childhood trauma that happened to them. Thank God for it, that they can do that. And what a story and testimony do they have about his instant healing. But there are some of us who are called to a longer stretch of healing.
Yes.
It's not that he's not going to heal us, but he's going to heal us according to his timetable and for his purposes.
And his healing may not look
exactly.
His healing may be bringing us home.
Yeah.
And we may not ever have healing here on earth. But that is part of the all things that work together for good for those who are called to his purposes.
And there are certain things where, like, you know, when I said I got into that negotiating where I was like, well, could you just heal some of these things, right? Well, one of the things that I really wanted God to come in and do a miraculous healing on was in regards to my libido and the intimacy with my husband, that it was affecting that.
Yeah.
And my poor husband was getting a double whammy because I have a background that includes sexual assault. So I'm already kind of sensitive to it. And then you actually just take all the hormones and throw them out the window and forget it. You know, this guy's in a dry and barren land, you know, wandering for 40 days and 40 nights. And so I would pray and pray and pray. I'm like, okay, just fix that. It's the only area of contention my husband and I have, is this one area. And for whatever reason, that's not been one of the areas that God has chosen to give me energy and strength and renew me and reinvigorate me as much as I pray for it. But in that, I've learned to surrender what I want and what works for me and how I want things to go to be able to serve my husband in a way that he needs. I don't always want to. I don't.
Right.
But I know that it is important to him. And I know that it's something that helps him feel close to me. We've had the conversations enough. And it's like, I've just come into that space of going, you know, I surrendered my illness to God, and I'm surrendering myself to my husband and letting him know how important that he is to me, that even though everything is working against us, I'm going to make an effort for this. And that has brought so much grace and love and healing and restoration into our marriage, because that one area that we were, you know, fighting and bickering over. And I was trying to say, like, this is out of my control. I can't help this. I can't, you know.
But that's where God wants all of us, yeah, is to live in a posture of surrender.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. And thank you for just sharing the grace of God's goodness in your life. And I just pray that this blesses many. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me today on By His Grace. I hope you've enjoyed listening and are encouraged by our guest today. I would love for you to visit my blog, mistyphillip.com, for more encouragement. You can find me on social media as Misty Phillip, and I would love to connect with you there.